our weekly chat with our staff medical advisor from South Strand Internist. Every week we talk with Dr. Vandegrift, or today, Dr. Brian Adler, about various health concerns. And today, we're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease. Now, you may know something about this. Maybe you've just heard of it and don't know a lot about it. But Dr. Adler told me right before we get on the air, he's seeing it more often, and he's seeing it in younger people. Normally, this is something I have always associated with older folks and senior citizens. We'll find out about it. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
I know a little bit about this. I've known people that have dealt with it, and I know it's part of the central nervous system, and the most common symptoms that I'm aware of is you see people that have the shaking of the hands. I'm also aware that I'm pretty sure there is no cure for this, so it's one of those things you have to do with just treatment of that. Is that correct so far, and what exactly is Parkinson's disease?
Well, Parkinson's disease is a degeneration of one of the structures within the brain that regulates and controls our coordination and our balance and walking. And again, we are seeing signs of Parkinson's beginning early, for many people as early as their 50s. It's a progressive disease, which is very subtle in the beginning, and then progresses over the course of years and can be fatal as it becomes advanced. Some of the things that people come in that exhibit some early symptoms may be sort of the classic pill rolling motion of the thumb and the first finger, which is sort of the classic description. But as in many things of medicine, few things ever present classically. Often people will have a little bit of shaking or what we call a tremor in the hands, or it could be arms, could be neck or head. And often we have to separate that from a benign condition, which we call essential tremors. So that's different. Many people will come in with a shaking, sort of a fine movement of the hand. They notice intermittently when they get tired or fatigued, or it may be shaking of the head or the neck. And for many, this is what we call a benign essential tremor. So it doesn't mean Parkinson's. But for others, it can be an early symptom or warning of progression that can come over the course of several years, which begins to affect movement. And some of the early symptoms that people describe is they just feel like they're not moving in a fluid way. They feel as though they're walking in molasses, or they're not able to sort of pick their legs up, or they're not moving their body sort of in a smooth, rhythmic way. Very hard sometimes for people to describe. But on examination, there's a rigidity to the muscle. When you examine and sort of pull on their arms, there's a lot of tension. And again, these are some early signs of Parkinson's, which again can be treated. And again, there's a lot of newer things that we can describe. But again, just talking about the symptoms of Parkinson's, it's slow, it's subtle. And often it takes multiple evaluations to really conclusively make the diagnosis.
Are there any, I've heard of the tremors and that type of stuff, are there any other symptoms that we may not be aware of other than the rigidity?
Well, early on, it's mainly muscular and tremor. People, again, will have some issues. They might describe it as a balance issue. They may have some difficulty getting up and down out of chairs. Usually it's some subtleties of their daily movements that often people describe to me when they're having some of these early symptoms. Now, the more advanced Parkinson's disease can affect mental function, memory, and again, in the advanced cases, people develop dementia. So that's the more advanced cases, but the early symptoms are generally tremors and rigidity of muscles.
Okay. Do we know what causes this?
We do. There's a structure within the brain that is responsible for coordination, and there are specific cells in that area of the brain that make a chemical called dopamine, And for whatever reason, that degenerates, and those cells get destroyed, and there's no longer the ability for the body in that area of the brain to make dopamine. And this is what causes Parkinson's disease. We can see it when we do post-mortem pathology. Unfortunately, we don't have a diagnostic test that can look at that area of the brain to confirm it, at least not practically. So again, the diagnosis is generally made by examination and by history. It's not one that we can make necessarily by doing scans or blood tests.
I understand. Now, when you say history, are you talking about the series of appointments you've made with your healthcare provider, or is this hereditary?
There is a form of hereditary Parkinson's that does run in families, but it doesn't necessarily always follow a genetic pattern, so people can develop it without having any family members. And then again, I have seen people who, again, have had multiple family members with Parkinson's developing at an early age. So it can be both.
All right. So once you've determined this, and I know that people have lived with this with years, what are the treatment options? I know that there are some medications, but I don't believe there's an absolute cure for at least the most cases of types of Parkinson's.
No, unfortunately, there is not a cure. There are a variety of medications that help to increase the dopamine levels and try to restore the levels of dopamine in the brain. And many of these drugs have been around a long time, and we have some newer ones that are out. And often these medicines are very effective in controlling symptoms for people for many years. Unfortunately, for most, over time, the disease progresses, so the medications at some point become less effective. So at a certain point when the disease progresses, medications are less effective, and we unfortunately do not have anything really on the horizon, at least that we have now, for more advanced cases. Now, there are some newer techniques and things that are also very effective. Michael J. Fox is one example of someone who had Parkinson's at a very early age, and they actually can put an electrical stimulator into the area of the brain where Parkinson's disease is found.
Wow.
And by using electrical stimulation can actually help reduce symptoms. And I believe he has a stimulator, and there are quite a few folks that have stimulators that I have seen that have been effective in controlling their symptoms. So stimulator and medications are really what's available today. I think what we're looking at on the horizon is trying to find ways to preserve the cells in that area of the brain. I think some of those will come in time as we are able to sort of genetically engineer replacing those cells, but we're not going to see that, unfortunately, anytime soon. So again, I think medication, treatment, education, and awareness for people, at least when they're first coming and first trying to understand what their symptoms are, is very important in getting people on the right medication and the right treatment program over the course of many years.
Because it does affect the muscular system, is physical therapy helpful, or is it because it's a neurological thing, does that not help?
It doesn't help in the long run. It might help short term,
okay,
but it won't help or change the course of the disease. So unfortunately, we have yet to discover or determine how we can arrest or reverse the disease. So again, it's mainly treatment management. It's symptom management, trying to help individuals get better mobility, reduce the shaking or tremors, and try to help individuals regain normal functional living. And again, it's a bit of an art. In this community, we have very limited neurology specialists, and many folks are going out of town to see specialists, particularly neurologists who have a lot of experience in treating Parkinson's. Because the variety of medicines that are available, there's a bit of an art to how often you take it and what doses you take. And sometimes we give people what we call a drug holiday. We take them off the medications. A physician who's very experienced in dealing with Parkinson's sometimes is helpful and necessary in managing the medications, again, because in more advanced cases, how you administer and take the medicines, again, requires some experience. So many folks, for example, I manage in my practice with Parkinson's have been pretty stable on the medicines, and they've been doing just fine over the course of several years. But sometimes I'll see folks whose conditions are progressing. They're having increasing difficulty getting around, and the medicines just don't seem to work as well. And many of those folks I'll refer to specialists who have a lot of experience, and often they can do much better than I can with managing their disease symptoms.
Well, since you're seeing more of this and you're seeing it in younger people, do you have any theories on why this is happening more often now, or is there anything we can do to prevent this?
No, we don't understand it. And again, like most degenerative disorders of the brain, we have yet to really understand whether it's caused by something attacking those cells, whether it's something within our body, or some infectious element, or something in our environment we just don't understand or know. So hopefully, that's one of those things, you know, on the horizon we'll get some answers for.
Well, folks, you never know. If you notice some of these symptoms, and it could be a tremor, it may turn out to be nothing at all, but you might want to go ahead and get it on record, meet with your health care provider, and have a discussion about it. If you don't have a health care provider, remember, you can always call South Strand Internist and Urgent Care in Surfside Beach. They're located on Glens Bay Road, and their phone number, 843-650-4006.